Buckle up, friends, and welcome to the Thriving Alcohol-Free Podcast. I'm your host, Deb, otherwise known as Mocktail Mom, a retired wine drinker that finally got sick and tired of spinning on life's broken record called Detox to Retox. Let this podcast be an encouragement to you if alcohol is maybe a form of self-care for you, where you find yourself dragging through the day waiting to pour another glass. I am excited to share with you the fun of discovering new things to drink when you aren't drinking and the joy of waking up each day without a hangover. It is an honor to serve as your sober fun guide, so sit back and relax or keep doing whatever it is you're doing. This show is produced for you with love from the great state of Kentucky. Thanks so much for being here and big time cheers. Okay, you guys, welcome back to Thriving Alcohol Free. I am Deb and I cannot even tell you, I feel like I say this every time how excited I am, but really that's the best thing about this podcast is getting to visit with friends. And today we have Joanne Pierce, who's coming in from Canada. She's one of my favorite people. There's snow behind her. She and I got connected. Actually, well, she was a guest. She was a presenter at the Mocktail Summit. So you may already know her. You might be familiar with her. Everybody loved Joanne at the Mocktail Summit. She presented the Tangerine Fennel White Grape Spritzer. And we chatted about her beautiful, beautiful mocktail activity book called Dry Spell. She is a leading expert in mocktails and non-alcohol cocktails in Canada, but all over the world, because you are on Instagram and your Instagram handle for everybody to follow you is Mockups Mocktails, plural, both plural, Mockups Mocktails. So make sure you're following Joanne because she is an absolute delight. And it was like an instant connection when you and I got on to record for the summit. Like I fell in love with you.
Yeah. Well, because I'd like forgotten my tooth and I was flustered and, you know, I'm not quite getting hot flashes yet, but I would have been having one.
At the same time, you would have been. Yes. Yes. So honestly, like today recording with you, this is like coffee with a friend or mocktail with a friend. I mean, literally, you are a joy. And following you on Instagram, you just share, there's just light and happiness that just everything you put out is just so fun and educational. Thank it's edutainment. You. It's wonderful mocktail edutainment. So
I saved my favorite mug.
Shut up. What is that mug?
You have it's your totally booby mug? Boobs.
Did you bring that for me?
Yeah. It's my favorite mug. And I normally I always make sure that it's turned around.
I love meetings. It.
But today I was like, I can totally go boobs out.
Deb can take it. Deb can absolutely handle that mug. We need to get a photo. I wonder if I can take a picture. Let's see if we can do a little picture.
Cheers. I love you.
Can you send me one of those? I really need it. Okay, this is going to be a fun recording. Okay, here we go. I would love for you to share your journey breaking up with alcohol or just getting into mocktails. Do you want to share that? You and I can talk for hours. So I know we already said we're going
to
keep
it. Yeah, I'll try to keep it brief.
30 minutes or less. Yeah, like yeah. Jimmy John's.
Well, it's always like when people ask me this, I tell them like that it wasn't a huge moment because I think that like we need to sort of challenge this notion that it needs to be this like come to Jesus, wake up in a ditch moment if you want to quit drinking. Like, we can be preventative of that, of it coming to that. So I just, I woke up one day and I felt like a little embarrassed. This was mid-pandemic and was like meeting friends with my boyfriends for the first time on a Zoom. And I felt the need to like a cappella karaoke a Bjork song for them.
Oh, that's so nice. Maybe you can do that for us at the end.
Like a Bjork song, that's like its own special kind of like shrill. So I felt embarrassed the next day and it was just a little embarrassed. I wasn't super drunk, but it was just that like little bit of shame. Mm-hmm. And I tried a few alcohol-free challenges before and the absence of shame was something that really stuck with me. So I woke up that day and I was like, I think I'm kind of done. Like, I don't want to feel this way anymore. I didn't warn my boyfriend, who's the sweetest man on earth. I just was like, nope, that's it for me. And he's been super cool about it. I know that that can be tough for some relationships, you know, where like your drinking buddy's gone all of a sudden.
Very true.
But I think that like, I always knew. I Jan Arden, who's one of my heroes in life, but also a sober hero, she said something recently that really resonated. And she was like, if you find yourself having a conversation in the mirror, even once or more than once, where you're saying you're drinking too much, and you're going to have to deal with this at some point. And I had had countless conversations like that with myself, where it was like, Joe, you know, you're going to have to deal with this at some point. So I feel lucky that it didn't have to come to, you know, like a grisly inflection point. It was just a really, it was just a moment where I think I realized, like, I don't want to have to dig myself out of a hole. So let's do it now. And then it was just like, I brought my little journey of books. I just started making mocktails. I've always kind of been like a witchy cook.
Uh-huh, I love that. So a witchy cook.
Yeah, exactly. I've always done like infusions and simple syrups. And there was like an almost disturbing kombucha phase where I had like 30 jars of kombucha going. And I remember I was living out on an acreage and I went through a breakup at the time and it was terrible. And I had to throw all my mothers out into the woods. And I was just like weeping, trying to get these kombucha mothers out of a jar. And I was like, I'm so sorry, because they're living things. Anyways.
grieving over the mothers.
Grieving over the mothers. So anyways, but I've had this history of like fermenting my own sodas and stuff like that. So when I quit drinking, I noticed that there weren't that many good options out there. At the time, this was in like 2020 in October, you know, I had a Paloma and it just tasted like a diet Fanta kind of a thing. So I started making my own, and this is the first book that I did. And I started photographing them, and just sort of like photography was a new hobby for me at the time. So they were just a lot of like, it was just me having fun.
Now, that book is different than this activity book. That is called Mock-Ups Mocktails, right?
This is just a little volume, of winter recipes.
I love it.
And then I followed that up with a volume of like spring and summer recipes.
I love it.
Yeah. And it was just beautiful. Me like having a blast, and all of a sudden got some attention from our local media here. And because nobody else was taking up space. I don't know if you found the same thing, but it was like, if you came into this game at the right time, you got to be an early mover. There was nobody else kind of taking it seriously. And all of a sudden we got the front page of the lifestyle section. And then I got offered a column on our local CBC radio station.
Really?
It just like built and built and built from there. So, you know, somebody who really loves validation, I found that like that validation helped to replace the drinking dopamine.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. But then since, you know, then I went through a whole journey of like the validation kind of peters off, and now it's just grisly hard work to
to going. Like,
yeah, exactly. But that's how it's all started for me, was just out of like pure curiosity. And I chose to be in my kitchen today because this is where everything starts and ends for me, is in the kitchen. I just started like boiling every spice in my house, and I just started like putting them together in these really weird permutations and combinations, and surprising myself and making some like truly disgusting things as well. And so, I was not economically motivated. I didn't know that this was going to be a thing. I was not like in pursuit of the soft crush or the sober wave that was coming. It was absolutely accidental, and it's been an amazing journey. And I'm tired, I've just been resting, but I feel like you understand what this tired is.
I think, after the Mocktail Summit, I was very tired, and I didn't expect to be tired, but I think like you and I were talking earlier, like it was like putting out all that energy into the world. And for whatever reason, I was like beyond wiped out. And I think just that emotional, I don't know, laying it out on the table, giving birth to the summit.
It's right? Terrifying. Yeah, like I'm
being
in a
vulnerable
foul mood. Yeah, after I release a book, I'm just like not in a good mood for a little while. Or even if I just do a little TV appearance, you know, it's like the vulnerability and the looking at yourself through the lens of like, what are other people going to think, and are they going to understand what I'm doing here? And I think there's an added layer to that with what we're doing, because it's also like, are they all going to think that I'm a drunk?
Right. No, that's true. Yep.
Yeah. It's like people who knew me when I was younger, are they out there being like, well, yeah, I'm sure glad that she got herself cleaned up, because I remember this one time.
So, no, you're right. You're right. Yeah. And I feel that too, because I mean, there's a lot of people in my life who don't know. I even went through a period where I was drinking more than I, you know, kept planning on, you know. It was like, I never had like a rock bottom, but it was like that same thing. Like, I don't want to live like this anymore. Like, I don't want to have these feelings of looking myself in the mirror and like, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing? I'm about to turn 50. So yeah, but there's people in my life who, it's like, they don't know. They don't know what I went through. So yeah, what are they thinking? But it doesn't matter. You know, then I tell myself it doesn't matter. What do I care what they think, you know? But I do, right? We do care.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think like, if anything, what not drinking unearths for me, because there is that like pink cloud phase, yep, which was great. And I miss, yep, it sometimes because you're on a mission and you know, this before it just becomes part of regular life. And when it's that, that's a bumpy one. I found like from, you know, month 6 to like 18 was a little bit challenging because that's when the stuff starts to come up.
Yeah.
You know, now, yeah, you've like unsettled the dust at the bottom of your ocean floor and you're seeing what's down there. And I think that like the people pleasing and the perfectionism and all of that stuff that was driving me to be incredibly productive, because that's around the time too that I got into manufacturing. We have a bottled mocktail line here. And it was like, I think I shaved 8 years off my life just with how absurdly hard I started to work. And I saw work replacing the alcohol.
So, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's really important that we talk about that as people in this space. It's like, it's not all roses when you, yep, quit and like hard stuff comes up. And sometimes I just get like annoyed with myself. You know, you want to break from yourself, but you don't necessarily have the same escape hatch.
That is exactly right. That is exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. There's no like, okay, I would like to zone out. You know, there was, I mean, it was right before the summit, really. I mean, I was like, I almost turned into cocktail mom. I just was like, I just wanted that escape hatch. I was just like, I just want to go take a bath and have a bottle of wine and just like take a night off, just check out for just a night. Can, yeah, you imagine?
Yeah.
But it, yeah, those feelings do, I was really surprised me, but it does come back and there's got to deal with it.
I had a friend who put it really well, where she said that, you know, like alcohol helps you have a sort of like myopic focus. So like a narrowed focus. When I think about what I really miss is like sitting at the kitchen table, you know, having, drinking red wine with friends and chain smoking cigarettes. Oh God, I miss smoking.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you just like have the focus and the desire to sit there and shoot the shit for 4 hours, and, you know, talk about your past. And like, yeah, I don't want to do that anymore.
Right.
Like, this is great. We're going to talk for about half an hour, you know, maybe an hour. Then it's like, hey, I want to go do stuff. Or, you know, like the brain doesn't stop.
Totally.
So I do miss that. Like the fuzzing of the edges. Now everything is just like so sharp all the time. But it's, yep, also great.
It is great. I know. I know. And I totally feel that. I mean, absolutely. But yes, there is that. There are those moments where you're like, man, right now it'd be really nice to just fuzz all the edges.
Just, no, just
for a day, just like a one day little fuzz the edges. But no, I'm not. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Okay. In your book, Dry Spell, which I love, 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 love. I love that you shared in the introduction, you just shared that you hope this book helps to occupy all your new free time as well as your hands. Because in the early days, my hands were like mice caught out in the open, always looking for something to scurry to. Making mocktails gave them a task to complete and a home to nest in. And that resonated with me so much because that was how I started my mocktail journey. Was like, I was bored at night. I didn't want to do puzzles. I didn't want to do, you know, I can only do Sudoku so many times, you know. And I needed something to do, kept me busy, you know, really gave me something to do. So I love this because it can really help people to be able to experiment in, you know, their new alcohol-free lifestyle.
I remember at one point, like day 4 was always the hurdle for me.
Mm.
Like day 4 was always the hardest day because you're feeling better by then from whatever binge night caused you to want to quit in the first place, whatever Bjork song you've sung a cappella.
On Zoom.
And I just like, my partner and I had gone out for a bike ride and I got a flat tire. And all of a sudden it was like, nothing could console me. I was, aww, just, and it was a beautiful day, which makes it worse. Like, you know, nice weather is a trigger for me for sure. Cause I just want to go pound cheap beer on a patio. And like, absolutely nothing that he offered could make me feel better or that I could offer myself. And that's cause I didn't have that toolkit. You build it over time, but in the beginning, you don't have that toolkit. Like your paths to what makes you feel better, they are grown over.
Like, you're right.
I think it's Catherine Gray who put it that way. Whereas like, you know, you're the one highway to dopamine is alcohol. And, you know, it's like, do you want to go for a walk? No. Like, do you want to have a bath? No.
No.
Do you want a snack? maybe, but also no.
But also no, I really just want a beer and I want to sit on the patio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is very interesting. It's true that one, it's like the highway has been built. The four lane highway of dopamine straight, you know, with the alcohol has been built over the years, and all the other paths are grown over. There's weeds on them. You can't walk on it anymore.
Yeah, now you got to start exploring these little like goat trails, and they're going to take you somewhere great, but it sucks at first. And that's like the best advice I could give anybody is like, know that it's going to suck sometimes.
Yeah.
Yep. Embrace that it's going to suck. Manage those expectations and just like start developing your tools for discomfort, for like the brambles and thorny things that, you know, you're going to hit along the way, but all of a sudden you're going to find these treasures off the beaten path.
That's so true. Yeah. Yeah. And the views that you have and everything that you're going to discover along the way. Yeah.
And the confidence and the, yeah, that's like a quiet, real confidence.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. As you guys know, I love Giessen 0% wines. Their Sauvignon Blanc is my go-to on a regular basis, but they recently launched a delicious sparkling Brut 0%, which is quickly becoming a fan favorite. I am so proud to have Giessen as the exclusive non-alcoholic wine sponsor of the Thriving Alcohol-Free podcast. Giessen 0% wines are created through the magic of advanced spinning cone technology to remove the alcohol from their full-leaded wines. The award-winning winemaker Duncan Schuler and his team have done wonders in Marlborough, New Zealand by creating an entire family of 0% wines with all the flavor and deliciousness you expect from traditional, quote, full-leaded wine. Their non-alcoholic wines maintain the aroma and the body to create a low-calorie wine that never contains more than 0.5 ABV. Globally available, look for Giessen 0% wines wherever you shop for your non-alcoholic options. Their family of alcohol-free wines include the most effervescent member of the family, the Sparkling Brut 0%, which is absolutely delicious for any celebration. My personal favorite, although I do love them all, is the Sauvignon Blanc, coming in at only 100 calories for the entire bottle. And not to be missed, the other members of their 0% family, the Riesling, the Premium Red Blend, the Rosé, the Pinot Gris. With Giessen 0% wines, there's a de-alcoholized wine for everyone and every occasion. Give Giessen a try and let me know how much you love it. And if you want to meet their winemaker, go back to episode 33 of the podcast where Duncan Schuler joined me to share about the Giessen story. Did you ever think you would be doing like television appearances and have a radio call in? Like, did you ever think you'd be doing stuff like that? Is that your background?
No, not at all. No, my background is in graphic design.
I love it.
And my partner is the journalist. So I never thought, and my brother's like an actor. He's the one who's, you know, does like TV and movies. And so my mom, like, she's just so incredibly bemused by this whole thing. It's been 3 years, but she's still, every time I go on TV, is like,
yeah,
who would have thought my shy little daughter,
my little Joe, my little Joe, with her boob mug that she's drinking tea out of while we have our recording. I can't wait to post the picture of this. You're the best. Okay, you're the best. Okay, I love that, like, you can go into your refrigerator. Like, when we recorded for the summit, you were talking about like the flavor Bible, which I know a lot of people liked, that you chatted about that you can, you know, go into your fridge and find like, what do you have left? You know, you've got some basil. Okay, you can make some basil simple syrup, or, you know, find different things maybe. Or if you're like me, go into your pantry and find expired items and see if they're still good.
Message you immediately.
And if they're like... not good, don't use them. But if they are still good, maybe try. Okay, so you're much healthier than I am. You're much more organic, and I love it, making your own shrubs. I've never made my own shrub or threw out any mothers anywhere. But I love it. I love it. Okay. All right. So I do want to get into the industry, how it's changing, keeping our mocktails quality, and like what you would say is a mocktail. So you start wherever you want.
Okay. The industry is like, I see the industry sort of developing along like these three branches right now. It's changed so much in the last 6 months.
Even. Totally.
I think that mocktails were sort of seen as this like pejorative exercise before, as like a thing that you settle for. And nobody took them that seriously, which is why we could do whatever we wanted. It was like the Wild West.
It's so true.
I didn't feel that much pressure to like be on my game, and I could just do whatever I thought was interesting. And all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, there's, you know, people just like competition and the sheer volume of products that's out there. Like, your knowledge of the products that are available is something I totally envy, because I'm just over here like trying to make simple syrup out of wasabi.
You must not know me. Ask me about anything, and I'm like, I don't know.
But you like have been so steady about reviewing the products that are coming out. And so it's just been overwhelming, right? And there's a time where I felt like defensive, where I was like, I don't, you know, like all this sort of capitalism and stuff. And I didn't want to share for a minute. And then I realized like, it's fine. There's so much room. There's so much room. And like, let the people innovate in the areas that they're good at. So the three sort of branches that I see is one is like the wellness industry, where it's starting to overlap and a little bit with diet culture, which can make me like maybe a little uncomfortable.
Agree.
Mm-hmm. Especially somebody who's like feeling pressure to come out with these full flavor mocktails, and then people want them for like 10 calories or less, and they want them to be all natural. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, but you can't have those three things at once.
Yeah.
Like, you can have 10 calories or less and full flavor, but it's not going to be all natural, you know? So
that's true.
There's that branch, but I'd like, there's also a lot of cool stuff happening in there. There's, you know, like the adaptogens and the functional fungi and the acidophilus. And, but to me, it's kind of like already the not drinking is the wellness act. Like, absolutely. I don't know that we need our mocktails to be everything for us. And like, do you know what I mean? Like have every sip. Yeah. And flavor can, I find as little as like tends to be a secondary consideration sometimes. In those where I'm like the primary consideration, or those, maybe that's a branch that I'm starting to notice being a little more gendered as well.
Okay.
And it makes me feel a little more like marketed at.
Yep.
So that's been interesting to watch.
The change. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's also, there's the like copycat, for lack of a better term, that sounds kind of like
the one-to-one. So like you have like the tequilas, the whiskeys.
Exactly. I find that to be its own interesting branch, and I'm a fan of that one because it's like watching Olympic level gymnasts do their thing where you're like, that's cool. No idea how to do it, but I'm impressed that you do.
Same, same. Yep, yep, yeah. Like I'm drinking the non-alcoholic wines. I'm like, I have no idea how you made this magic happen, but I love it all. Yeah.
Yeah, right? And that one, though, like I'm very cautious when I go into that territory with people because that's where people like, that's where they're most likely to be disappointed. Is when they are trying to replace something.
That's true.
So I find that those are the mocktails that if they're not done extremely well, people will be like, oh, it tastes like it has a hole in it, you know?
Yeah.
That's because they're tasting or they're drinking to replace something.
They're expecting it to taste exactly like maybe, you know, especially when they're trying, like, or sometimes people don't realize, you know, if somebody's brand new and they're listening today, you know, they don't, a lot of people don't realize, I didn't know in the beginning, like you can't do a shot of non-alcoholic whiskey, you know, it's not going to taste like whiskey. You put it in a mocktail, put it in an alcohol cocktail, it's going to taste, can taste delicious.
Yeah.
But typically they're not meant to be just sipped on. There are a few, there are some that can be.
Yeah, like spiritless bourbon. I'll put in.
I think the spiced.
Yeah.
I think the spiced one can be. It's delicious. It used to be called Highland Malt. I think it's now Traditional Reserve.
See, you know your products way better than me.
No, I don't. No, I don't. That's a mistake. It's all a mistake. It's a fluke. But there are a couple. But yeah, sorry. All that to say, yes, I think people are expecting like it to be exactly the same and it's not. Yeah.
That's because like as long as you were drinking it to replace your alcoholic drink, I think that you were tasting it for what it is not instead of what it is. But once you get over that hump, all of a sudden that product category opens up to you because you're like, whoa, cool. They distilled hay to make this one. What?
Yeah. Yeah. You're
and then
right.
You can appreciate them for these really complex botanical sort of reductions that they are. And then the third one, and that's where I like to live. And that's the culinary approach.
Yeah.
And that's just like putting really weird stuff together and seeing what comes out.
I love it. Yes. That is your lane. That is your specialty.
And that's what
it
I learned,
really
like,
is.
Yeah. And I'm like, don't worry. Like that's like when I was started, you know, saying I was feeling like all of a sudden this urgency and I was feeling competitive and I was like, oh no, I need to start getting into XYZ game and I need to start reviewing more products and all of that stuff. And I just like
nope, just blinders on. And I'm speaking to myself too, blinders on. And for everybody, like we just, there's only one you, there's only one me, right? There's only one exactly who's listening. There's only one you. No one else can do exactly what you're doing. Like you're in that culinary lane. I have absolutely no desire ever in a million years to be in that lane with you. I will cheer you on. I'm so excited for what you're doing. I love what you're doing. I love your activity book. I love the recipes you have in here, the simple syrups. Have I ever made you know, I'm not home, you know, going, oh, this expired ingredient. How can I make a simple syrup out of this? You know what I mean? So like, I love that. Like there is such a, there's a place for each of us, for each of us and for our uniqueness. So
that's absolutely it. And I think that like, when you do what you find interesting, that comes,
you can have fun
and it's sincere. Right. Yeah.
Yep. It's authentic and you're having a good time and it keeps giving you energy. You're putting energy into the world. You're sharing that and it's giving you energy. You know, it's giving you joy.
I brought my, I brought my journal to show you my process through that a little bit.
Okay. I want to see.
Because I've just been giving myself a little space lately to just chill out because the burnout, I was feeling it. It was real. So I've just started to like, this is how I think is like, I, you know, just like pick an ingredient. Yep.
Did you draw those?
Yeah.
And no, you didn't.
I haven't drawn since I was like 14. And then I've been like
writing. It looks like a photo.
Little like essays about it. I'm onto wasabi right now.
What are you doing with wasabi?
Oh, all kinds of stuff.
Look how beautiful that is.
Thank you. Well, first I like, this is my, you know, I try it with every single thing I can find and make notes about it. And then that turns into recipes. So
you are amazing.
This is kind of my approach.
Your process.
Yeah. And so it's very much like to not go in with any expectations and to just go in with curiosity and be like, I wonder what this would be like. Because I think mocktails are sort of one of the final culinary frontiers where we can really surprise people. Obviously, you know, like there's, you can still surprise people with food, but it's where people don't have any expectations outside of that sort of like one-to-one cocktail comparison. Mm-hmm. But I think this approach is like my favorite drink right now is a wasabi plum sour. And it's incredible. And you wouldn't know what to expect by me just telling you that, right? You'd have to try it.
Okay. Can you give us the, you don't have to do it right now, but will you give me the recipe and we can put it in the show notes?
Oh, totally.
But I would love to. And the other thing too, I have the membership. That'd be fun to even make that drink on a happy half hour with the ladies.
Yeah, let's do it.
Actually make your new favorite.
Absolutely.
Yes. I love wasabi. Like when I have sushi, I've never had it in a mocktail. So let's do it.
Cause it's another one of the ways to like get the burn, right? Like we definitely had a lot of drinks with chili.
I miss that. Yep.
But wasabi is like a whole other direction. And it's that, as my boyfriend calls it, a singular note of fury.
Singular note of fury.
like
he's the writer. You said he's the writer. Yes.
He's the writer.
That's a good way to put it. Yes. That's so perfect. Well, you mentioned just about like being curious. And I think that, you know, goes back to even just maybe somebody who's listening, who's maybe just sober curious, you know, just lean into that. Like, how might this feel? You know, how might this feel if I get to day four, you know, or how might this feel if I maybe take a week off or maybe drink a mocktail in between my cocktails, you know, lean into that curiosity a little bit.
Absolutely. Like, I think we all feel like it's that voice where you talk to yourself in the mirror. We all feel that little like inkling inside of us. I think maybe you have this now too, because I know that I'm sort of become a lightning rod for the people in my life where they all of a sudden like to tell me how much they drink and that they probably should drink less, you know, and I think we all have that little voice in us that's like, well, what if you did drink less? What might you be capable of? Was it Bradley Cooper that said that? You know, he realized that if he kept drinking, he wouldn't be able to realize his full potential.
So true.
Yeah. And I think that is the reward. That would be what I have to say to anybody who's thinking about embarking on that journey of curiosity, is that if you can push through those walls of discomfort and those moments of discomfort and those day fours, you will surprise yourself in ways that you can't even conceive of yet. And you will all of a sudden tap into the ability to realize that potential. And I know it's not like that for everybody. I know for some people, you know, when they stop drinking, it uncovers all kinds of stuff. It uncovers depression and anxiety. And I'm not saying it's going to be magical.
Absolutely.
But I am saying it does give you an opportunity to acknowledge that those things are going on in the first place and address them, which is part of the journey towards, you know, like finding that potential and removing these sort of roadblocks of fear that can fall in the way. So like I found when I was drinking and creative, I would just, you know, be in this wild frenzy at night with the wine nearby and I'd knock it over all the time. My carpet was constantly covered in red wine.
Baptizing and make the kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. make these like really bold, amazing things. And then I would never show them to anybody the next day because it wasn't coming from that like quiet, confident, creative place. And I think, yeah, hang on and it's worth it. And know that it's going to suck sometimes. Like, be realistic with your expectations. That would be my advice. But yeah, lean in and be curious. Absolutely. Like, my favorite quality in any human being is curiosity.
Curiosity. Yeah. So true. So true. You mentioned that you have a bottled brand up in Canada. What is the name of it? I want to make sure anybody, our Canadian listeners know.
It's called Distemperance.
Distemperance. And where would they be able to find it? It's not in the States, right? It's not here.
No, not yet. Okay. We're trying to figure all that out. So if you're in Alberta, you have a much better chance of finding us.
Okay.
So right now we're like going through all this stuff of figuring out label requirements and how to be a national brand and all that stuff that stresses me out. So
lean back. Yep. It'll happen. It'll happen in the right time. Yeah.
Exactly. So our thing, our focus is super cool. It's our focus specifically on prairie agriculture from like where I am in Edmonton. Wow. Alberta is not known for its fruit.
Okay.
Like BC is, because we basically live in a tundra.
I was going to say, you're in a snow tundra right now. I see. Like, is it all year long like that?
Yeah.
What's, but a lot of what's it fruits, like in August? Yeah, maybe I'll come up in August.
It's hot. Yeah, oh, but okay. You're probably used to that. It actually makes our fruit perfect for mocktails because it's often like sour and bitter and tannic and all of those sort of qualities that we normally wouldn't want from our fruit in a pie. But I think it does make it really interesting in a mocktail. So every flavor of the Distemperance line actually features locally grown agriculture. So
amazing.
Like Saskatoon's hascaps, beet sugar, local honey. I really want to get my hands on some dandelion root. So this is, again, where my nerdiness kind of comes into play. Of course, like we went to scale one of my recipes. And they were like, what the hell? You know, this costs like $10 a bottle to produce.
Like, what is this? Well, I have plenty of dandelions in my yard in the summer I can send to you. So if you would like some Kentucky flavors, we can add this.
I absolutely would. I will come down there and forage with you any day.
Yes, in my front yard. Perfect.
Just don't use any Roundup.
Not good. I want to make sure everybody knows where to find you. Mockupsmocktails.ca is your website. Yep. And then split.ca.
Spilt. Is that you? I know. I got to change.
Spilt. Sorry. I just said it wrong. Sorry.
Everybody says read. Split. So that's indicating
spilt.
To me. Yeah.
SPILT.ca is your other website. Okay. And then, Joe, last question. If you're going out and about, you're going to a restaurant or bar and they don't have a mocktail on the menu, what would you order?
Oh, Diet Coke is actually.
Diet Coke. Okay. Is there like a mocktail that you would ever ask them to make for you or something like a bar, like if you're at a bar and you're like, oh, can you make me, is there something simple that like somebody could, and sorry, I'm totally putting you in a spot. If you don't have an answer, it's totally fine. Like no stress.
But this isn't quite a direct answer to your question. Can I share an observation I've noticed?
Yes, I would love it. Yep.
Mocktails in restaurants. Weirdly, I've gone to some nice restaurants lately. It's been lovely. But weirdly, the nicer restaurants, I find their mocktail game can be weaker. And what's interesting there is that I think because they want to show that they're like with it and more forward thinking, they're relying too heavily on the spirits because like, look, we have the spirits. And then they're taking their cocktails and they're just swapping the spirit out. But like very spirit forward mocktails, you know, like old fashions and Negronis. So you're like, you guys, like you're not looking at this as a holistic thing, you know, in this sort of race to be like, but we're using the alcohol-free spirits, you know, like, you know what we're doing. You're actually kind of neglecting the drink as a whole. Whereas I find the like franchise chains that I go to, they tend to have strong mocktail game because they're probably trying to save money. They're coming at it with like more juices and syrups and mixing that way. So that's just my interesting observation. Oh, I have an answer for you.
Okay. I love it.
100% a Shirley Temple. I love Shirley Temple.
Do you really?
Yeah. So it like is, in the...
love it.
I'm going to write an essay about it.
That's the last thing I would ever order. Okay. Yes. So Shirley Temple would be what you would order for real.
So like, I think when I got into this game, I was all like, wanted to be super cool, too cool.
Yes.
And be like, oh yeah, thank God we don't have to drink Shirley Temples anymore.
Yes.
And then I went to see Hamilton here at our local like big theater venue. And all they had was Shirley Temples. And I was like, oh, I went with a sober friend. And then this thing was so good.
It was it?
So you were it like, was a revelation.
The Shirley's not so bad.
It was so good. And it was like, it got me thinking that like mocktails can be sweet. It's okay. But they don't have to only be sweet.
Yep.
Yeah. Shirley Temple hated Shirley Temples. Fun fact.
Oh, I didn't know that. I did not know
I know
that.
You're trying to wrap up the interview. We
can No, I did not know that. Yes, no. I don't want to wrap up the interview. That's the thing. I really would love to just talk for like hours.
I know.
When I just come up to Alberta and just play in the snow, make snow angels together.
I think he would like to hear. I feel like it's probably got some like Kentucky vibes.
Some Kentucky. If the people are nice, then they have Kentucky vibes, which they're like you, then yeah. I mean, Kentucky. When I moved here, I just could not believe how nice people were. I couldn't get over it. When I went to the grocery store the first time, maybe it was Target, wherever. And I'll never forget the lady, you know, put her stuff in. She had their cart. She put the bags in her car. And then she walked the cart back to the place where the carts go. And I was like, what is she doing? Like in California, they just like, they don't care. People don't care. I lived in California for 10 years. They didn't care. So to come here and people like actually care and they, you know, knock on your door and say, welcome to the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's that Midwest. And I was raised here. So I moved to Montreal for 8 years. And there it's like, it's not the same deal.
It's more like California. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, everyone's just like super cool and
busy
smoking. And, you know, like,
that's where the smoking comes in.
Way cooler than you were in
Montreal.
I.
Yes.
And then I came home and I was like, oh, it's my people. Like, yes. I don't have to pretend to not care. Like, it's okay to care.
Yes, yeah. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to care. Okay, I want to make sure everybody's following you. Mockups Mocktails on Instagram. And then you can order Joe's book, which I love. It's called Dry Spell. This is on her website, mockupsmocktails.ca. You are a joy. Thank you for being a presenter at the Mocktail Summit. You are a hit. I had many people mention you by name, by the lady with the coloring book. But you're really, I love your Instagram and just like even you're doing a thing about what New Year's Eve with your dress on and you were like all dialed up at 8 a.m. And anyway, you're just... You are fun. Everybody needs to follow along because you're a lot of fun. Joe, thank you for coming on the podcast today. Thank you. Thank you. Big time cheers to you, my friend. I love you so much.
Sorry, just seeing that nipple in the screen.
Nipple.
Little belly button.
It's an innie. It's not an outie. It's an innie.
It is. Yeah. I love you. Thanks so much.
Big time cheers to you for tuning in to the Thriving Alcohol-Free Podcast. I hope you will take something from today's episode and make one small change that will help you to thrive and have fun in life without alcohol. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social, send up a flare, or leave a rating and a review. I am cheering for you as you discover the world of non-alcoholic drinks and as you journey towards authentic freedom. See you in the next episode.